Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh.
Casey Easton singing Hell's Bells. Wow. For those who live under a rock, AC/DC is an Australian rock band formed in Sydney in 1973 by Scottish-born brothers Malcolm and Angus Young. Their music has been described as hard rock, blues rock, heavy metal, but the band themselves call it simply rock and roll. In February 1980, the band's original singer, Bob Scott, died of acute alcohol poisoning. At that time, the group considered disbanding, but elected to stay together. Brian Johnson joined as Scott's replacement, and later that year, the band released their first album with Johnson, Back in Black, which was dedicated to Scott's memory. The album launched AC/DC to new heights in success and became one of the best-selling albums of all times. A bronze statue of Brian Scott was unveiled in Western Australia in October 2008. The band's eighth studio album, For Those About to Rock, We Salute You, in 1981, was the first album to reach number one in the United States. And I am a fan of that particular album. I actually have a couple of those in the studio, and we'll play another one on the way out. We've got an hour-long show for you tonight, just a quickie so that you didn't miss us since we weren't on yesterday. And I am here with my big brother, Hatter. And I just let Wayne into the studio. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Glad you're here.
How's it going, David, Dave, and Hatter? How are you doing tonight?
It's okay. How are you doing?
Oh, not bad, not bad. I had a bunch of people come by. Everybody's out shopping with their money they got and out running around. I had a bunch of people stop by, and I had to run them off before I go. About an hour ago, I had to run them off. I had to get on the radio. So everybody's out running around and eating and shopping and doing everything. So I'm glad they're all happy.
Stocking up on food and stuff, huh? Smart idea. Because 14 states just reported an upswing in cases again. So hold on to your hat, to everyone.
Yeah, not a
pleasant thought. And I'll take a quick moment to tell everyone, if you were expecting to hear our dear Sweet Pea, she is at a function with her dogs. She has her Australian Shepherds compete, and they play Frisbee, and they win medals and ribbons and wood Frisbees, and she has some brilliant dogs. Aside from Amadeus, the hero dog who takes very good care of his mama. And she'll be back next week, so you have that to look forward to. I know there was last night we weren't on, so I didn't get to shout out a happy birthday to Dave Prophet for his leprechaun birthday. And tonight is Phil the Poet's birthday. So happy birthday, Phil. And
birthday, Phil.
Yeah, and if anyone's interested, I happen to know that Poetic Weaver is out there with a contest going to wish Phil the Poet happy birthday. So I believe the top prize is like 2,500 points. So, you know, anybody that's interested in that, go to the contest page. And speaking of 2,500 points, tomorrow night, AP is going to try something different, and he is going to do a show that he calls Critters, and you'll be given clues, and we need to guess the critter, and he's got 2,500 points for the win of the show, and he's calling it Critter Cash. So that ought to be fun. And you know that there's an endless supply of critters for him to choose from over there in Australia, and I'm sure at least half of them we've never heard of, so it ought to be educational and fun. So that's tomorrow night at 11 Eastern, so check that out. But for tonight, like I said, we have a handful of poems, and I am going to ask Wayne. Wayne, I noticed that you sent a SoundCloud. Does that mean you're singing?
It's got music. It's got music on it, but it was something I had recorded for today. I'm not hoarse, so I recorded that, so I wouldn't have to talk so much. I've talked since 6 o'clock this morning. I've been talking.
Well, I figured either you put some music in the background or you were singing it. And I haven't heard Hatter make a peep. Hatter, are you muted?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Hey,
you're awful quiet.
I was still jamming to the music. I was jamming to the music.
Oh. Hell's bells, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, Back in Black. I love that song. Shook me all night. I mean, they've got so many. You could sit and just list them and list them and list them, you know. Thunderstruck. But I figured since all the quotes had to do with evil, Hell's Bells was a good song to start with. And my friend Kay, one half of the Dynamic Duo, agrees. So, and I know she's listening while she's eating her dinner, and she's got me wondering if she's eating leftover, say, ham and cabbage or some other such St. Patrick's Day meal. Just curious.
Irish stew.
Anyway, you too, huh? I know that I heard somewhere, it was probably Kay when she was cleaning or whatever, but apparently it is one of Stephen's favorite days of the whole year. And knowing Kay, she made a fuss for him, so I'm sure there's leftovers. Now, I am going to grab Wayne's link so we can... Stephen's having leftovers and Kay's having pizza. Well, there you go. Hello,
right.
Both halves of the Dynamic Duo. Okay, so let me put your clip. Here's your clip. And when you both see it, I will push play, and we can hear what you did with your poem. Just had to score on this one, Wayne.
I didn't score very well. It was about a 6-7, I think it was. And I did use 41 of the words, but it's, you know, just didn't come out as poetically because it's dark. The dark poems don't come out quite as poetically. So it's a dark poem, and I like it, but it's dark.
All right, well, let's step into the darkness with Mr. Wayne Gent. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
This is called Escape the Hill. The air in mausoleum was a frigid charcoal. As a toothless amputee invaded the deadly hole, saw the corroded gunmetal caskets had been disturbed to be trespassing in its bloodstained chamber was absurd. Draped his pleated denim jacket over a garnet brick, drank his seaweed tasting elixir, was feeling sick. Rotational thunderclouds outside began spraying rain. His wounded arm, now scabbed, was ticking with pain. This would be his dynamic underground headquarters, room to hide from the sharpshooter's mortars, a place only fit for mushrooms and toadstool incubation. Outside, he saw wintergreen snapdragon sensation. Having become dark, felt presence of the medieval. New fear, his pain arising from anticipation of evil. At first, heard a whimper as a tree limb flaps outside. Then ghostly voices telling him there's nowhere to hide. Felt a murloc vine crawling up to the intersection of his legs. Then shredders twisted around his torso as he begs, grinding into his life yoke till he became a deadly ruby red. It would be weeks before anyone knew he was dead. In.
Wow, Wayne, you're not kidding. That was dark. Man, oh, man.
Dark.
And as dark as it was, I find myself very sad at the end to think that he was dead for weeks before anybody even knew. I mean, that's a sad thought. But back up to the escaped to hell. You know, it must be pretty bad if going to hell is considered an escape, just saying. Escape to hell. Damn. And the air in mausoleum was a frigid charcoal, and the toothless amputee invaded deathly holes. There's a nasty vision. Toothless amputee. Man, oh, man. And rotational thundercloud outside began spraying rain. His wounded arm, now scabbed, was ticking with pain. Vicious stuff. And having become dark, felt a presence of medieval, new fears, pain arising from anticipation of evil. You really, and the music you chose to go with it was really awesome too, Wayne. But I keep going back to that ending, even with the gruesome shredders and twisted torsos as he begs. So sad, but the end and the thought of nobody even noticing that you were gone for weeks, let alone dead, right. Is so sad. So, like, you caught me with quite a few emotions here. It's a gory, bloody mess, gruesome.
People don't look in the mausoleums very often. You know, you go inside a mausoleum and die, you might not be seen for a year, because people don't go inside them very often. That's where their bodies are stored. So, when you die inside there, you're just kind of lost. So that's what it was.
I guess if nobody knew you were going to visit the graveyard that day, they wouldn't look there either. Man, oh man, that was right. So vicious, Wayne. Hell of a job.
Oh, thank you.
What do you think, Catter?
Yeah, I agree. Totally. I mean, that's the way the world wars were. In a foreign land, nobody knows where to find you. They don't know what happened to you. You know, that was a very true but sad part. And I do like the his wounded arm was ticking with pain. I could just feel it. Yeah, I mean, this is very, very, very good.
Thank you very much, man. Appreciate it. I had fun writing it.
I was just writing that the end leaves you with such a powerful sense of sadness that it's still, I think everybody wants to know that people would notice them if they weren't around. And
right.
There's just something
this
extra sad,
yeah.
You know?
In the poem, the poem is about an escapee, that's an escape convict. They got away, and he's wounded, and he's trying to hide out from the law. You know, they're trying to shoot him with the sharpshooter's mortars. He's been hunted down, but he's hiding in this little dark mausoleum, and he dies there, and nobody can ever find him. Nobody knows he's gone. Nobody knows he escaped. And he's there by himself, and it's all over with. And he just sits and lays there now until somebody comes along and looks in there. It's kind of sad. Everybody wants to be found when they're dead.
And all that from that picture.
I didn't mean to make you so sad.
Just being in there by myself would make me feel like that picture, though. It's one of them places that you sort of want somebody to be with you when you go there.
Absolutely. I wouldn't call it one for nothing.
Yeah, it's just, wow. And you think about that, like you just said, if people, it's not like somebody goes there daily, so you figure it. There's mice, there's spiders, there's spider webs, there's...
Oh, yeah.
It's cold in there because of the marble wall, usually marble walls on the mausoleum,
mm-hmm.
So it's just, like, vicious all the way around. Man, oh, man. All right, let's see. Let's keep this going. I think, Wayne, look on the board. Kay said, as my father says, toothless and ruthless. Awesome, Wayne. Yeah, I like that. Toothless and ruthless.
Toothless and ruthless. Yep.
Watch out for that clover. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Can I go ahead
Hello,
and read mine?
Frank. Sure you can.
Yeah.
Put on the board for us, Hatter.
Okay. I'm running down the hall as we speak.
There's Frank.
No running, dude.
Frank.
Yeah, no running. Come on. Okay, settle down. There it is. Boom and bam. Got it.
Okay.
Oh, come on. I can't slow this thing down. It's jumping. Okay. How did you know there was a key? I just wrote to the picture. He goes, I woke to the chaos of yesterday I thought had already died, yet someone thought it was okay to bring it back alive. The faces changed, the words did not. The wind still blows with hate. Tomorrow screams, stomp the dreams for the future that it makes. What it was that stops the time brought us to our knees, distrust a must to play this game while drinking antifreeze. The eyes that watched the tearing down, this time they dug the graves. Without a place where we can stand, there's nothing left to save. My voice is shallow, there is no echo, no one answers the door. I pack my things and offerings, I cannot take it anymore. History holds no doors for you, yet you wait without a knock. How did you know there was a key when you said there was no lock?
Damn, Hatter.
That's great.
The eyes that watched the tearing down, the time they dug the graves, without a place where we can stand, there's nothing left to save. My voice is shallow, there is no echo, no one answers the door. I pack my things and offerings as I cannot take it anymore. Damn, this is awesome. An hour ago, because I know we just hung up the phone about an hour ago. I can't believe that it's got your signature rhyme. The flow is awesome. It's freaky and scary. And the very first line, I woke to the chaos of yesterday. I thought I was already dead. That's so creepy. Man, yet someone thought it was okay to bring it back alive. Is it you or yesterday?
I'm sorry?
Hatter. In the first stanza, is it you or yesterday?
I woke to the chaos of yesterday.
Someone thought it was okay to bring it back alive. So they brought yesterday back to life. Sometimes bringing yesterday back to life is
about
something that...
But
sometimes... thought of being able to bring something from yesterday back is something that you would wish for, but in this case, I think it's something you'd be grateful for if it didn't. And it would be just my luck, too, that rather than bringing back something that would make me smile, they'd be bringing back the chaos from yesterday. So this is really, really great. What do you think, Wayne?
Well, thank you. I thought it was fantastic. It's dark. Spooky, and it has the undead rising, and I like what he said. What it was that stopped time brought us to our knees. Distrust a must to play this game while drinking antifreeze. Has a great rhyme in it, great little imaginary right there. Just great point all the way through the rhyme and flow. And at the bottom of the way he ended was good too. He said, "History holds no doors for you. You wait without a knock. How did you know there was a key when you said there was no lock?" That's great. That's just a great way to end it because he hit the door and. He said, "Dorney's not knocking, so he's out there, and you got to be careful to open the door up because he's there." So it's just a great, great poem all the way through. It's a great horror flick. It's like a movie. It's very good.
Thank you, Wayne.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I sort of like how it ended. The antifreeze line, I wasn't sure to save that. It sounded a little forced.
Oh, I don't know. Somebody fooled me. That's good.
Don't drink antifreeze. It's cool.
No, that's definitely done. Don't do that for sure.
Yeah.
It's a great point.
Thanks for that, Amir.
Did all poetry just go down?
No, I'm floating in it. Thanks.
Well, I just tried to hit enter and comment on your poem, and it kicked me off the site. All right, let me try that again. No, as soon as I click on anything, it tells me that no internet. What the hell you mean no internet?
Oh, yeah, you lost your internet service. You lost your internet service. On your computer.
Airplane mode? How the frig did I get in airplane mode? I didn't touch anything. All right. All right.
I hate that.
But why would it change the airplane mode without me? I don't know. Anyway, all right, let's try this. There we go. Now let me try to put that. Paste.
It's probably very electric. Right.
That was really weird. Anyway, it's back. But I thought you had to hit something. I thought you had to physically put yourself into airplane mode. I wasn't expecting it just to dive over there on its own. The hell kind of stuff is that?
That's happened to me before.
Did that ever happen to you?
Yeah, it has happened to me before. Couldn't figure it out. That's the first place I checked.
Yeah, poetry has a lot of things.
Well, I just noticed that there was a little tiny airplane icon down next to the volume button. But like I said, I'm sitting here typing your message or your comment, so I was anywhere near any buttons that should have been putting me into airplane mode. Anyway, that was very strange.
The goblins are out.
Yeah. Yeah, Kay's right. She wrote on the board, that was a heck of a right. Antifreeze has a sweet taste. I had a chocolate lab. His name was Casino, and he got his name because I won the money to buy him from the breeder from a jackpot at the casino on the slot machine. And the next-door neighbor worked nights and slept during the day, and if you let Casino out in the backyard to go to the bathroom, he'd run around the yard and play, and if people walked by, he'd bark or whatever. Well, the guy got angry because he would bark and wake him up, so he fed him some antifreeze and anyway.
Oh, no.
Okay. So I don't even want to get myself started on that, but yeah, isn't that? But that's how I know that the reason that it was easy to get him to do is because antifreeze is sweet. Now, supposedly, yes, in recent years, they've taken whatever it is to make it appealing to animals out of it, but I don't know if that is or isn't true or if it's just specific brands. But I know I live in a building that's four townhouses, obviously side by side. And
yeah,
that neighbor's not there anymore, but we used to have a neighbor in number two. And when he lived here, there was suddenly no cats around. And then one day, wife jokingly said that, oh, yeah, he hates cats, but cats like antifreeze. So people are sick, right?
Yeah, he wouldn't be around less around me very long. I'd just stick it in his throat.
Yeah.
I live in a townhouse, too. I live in townhouse with four people.
Yeah.
We all get along pretty good. Yeah, we get along pretty good. We've all been here, I've been here 13 years. They've been here like 8, 9, 10 years. So we get along pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good
I've been here
neighborhood.
I went from a five-bedroom house to this little, very cute two-bedroom townhouse, basement, laundry room, two bedrooms. But, it's a crazy adjustment because, there's this little kitchen where it used to be the kitchen, the dining room. I prefer to go down even a little bit smaller, but working on that. Anyway, let's say hi to Frank. Hi, Frank. Welcome to the show.
Frank.
Hello there, my friends. I'm just listening tonight. I'm a fly on the wall. I'm listening.
Oh, yeah? I heard that you were in the siesta?
Oh,
did we interrupt
I was,
your nap?
Possibly. Well, I'm getting to there. I'm getting my spirits awakening here a little bit, but certainly hearing that poem there, I wasn't able to hear all of it. I heard a little bit in the great rendition there, Wayne. I thought it was a masterpiece there. I would say one of your best, of this genre, one of your best pieces here. Let me say it's because I see more of I wouldn't say time or nor effort put on this. I think you're starting to feel more of your own groove here, if I could say the word. I'm noticing that you're starting to get into the groove here of writing, and it's a good thing.
It is.
This motivation going, and it produces these awesome pieces here.
Yeah, Deb's words is what's doing most of it. she's put these outstanding words in it. I just kind of put them together. Some good poems.
It's a remarkable piece.
Well,
you did a great job with the metaphors and the wordplay.
Well, I didn't want to give you a whole bunch of quotes to choose from about hell and vicious pictures and then give you sunshine and roses for a word bank, so I had to hand pick words that would be easy to tie into viciousness. But man, you guys are really, really bringing it. And I do have K's on the board, and I see all them slices of pizza. Were you saying that that's what you're having, or were you saying that you were, was that a comment for K, because that's what she's having?
Yes, no, I always try to bring a gift. If not a poem, I bring some food. If not a food, I bring a drink. It's my motto there,
okay.
To please my,
so pizza
to be
for
a,
everyone.
To
I
please
see,
my,
I see.
My, yes, it's to please my host, to be good in invitee, I would say. So I always try to please my host there in whatever form I can be, because to be invited is a good thing. It's always an honor for me. So I always think, I always try to be
invited.
In a way of a gift.
You're always invited.
Well, I know that, my friend.
I have Frank here. Yeah. He's always invited.
Absolutely. All right, so if you guys want to click on Kay's poem, I will push her sound, and we can – that's cool. Look at the picture Stephen put on the wall.
I'm there.
Lie.
That's Jeff Goldblum.
The artist is good, too, because it does look like Jeff Goldblum. But anyway, let's click on Kay's poem, and I will push play.
Haunted Towers, Dear and Present Day Owner, by Kay. The eyes of darkness gouge and sidens as voices whimper through wounded snapdragon toothless shredders. Pupils not dilate of the sockets, pockets, sharpshooter, midnight thunderclouds. Sketch the air into gray matter, the walls will bleed, weepen. The fields lost their rainbow under ticking toadstools, rebellion. Craters pocket the flesh and pleated Merlot mailrooms, macaroons of scab. Bloodstains. Whispering through the whiskers of whiskey, hollow dust, kite the windowsill illusions. Lapel the squares of trespassing yolk, trace the fingerprints. Patch in the holes, line in the ruddiness of the executioner's pendulum, corroded headquarters, overlords, the sectional self. End poem.
Wow. I like the title, Haunted Tower, Steering, Present Day Owner. And you think, it's being ruled by it. Something from the dark, since you put present day, so that would imply that haunted the past. Man, okay, let me see here. The eyes of darkness gouging sightings. As voices whimper through wounded snapdragon toothless shredders. Craters poking the flesh in pleated Merlot mailrooms, macaroons of scabbed bloodstains. Now, I'm sorry, I like macaroons, but now every time I think of a macaroon now, I'm going to think of the scabbed bloodstains. Oh, my goodness. They're a love it or hate it kind of thing, so I get the feeling that maybe macaroons are not her favorite thing because she's got her other scabbed and bloodstained there. And patching the holes, lining the rootiness of the executioner's pendulum, corroded headquarters, overlords. Wow. Now I can, there's a song in my head now for overlords, Zeppelin song. My. This is vicious. The field lost their rainbow under toadstool rebellion. That's a tongue twister. Ticking toadstools rebellion. But it sounds like it could be an event from history, you know, the toadstool rebellion, like the Boston Tea Party. Well, this is the terrible toadstool rebellion. So I thought that was really cool. But with everything from the blood stains to the eyes of darkness that's gouging sightings, and you can just picture somebody getting their eyes gouged out, and it's like really, really vicious phrasing here, and cases of brevity, but nonetheless vicious. So like, hell of a job. What do you think, Hatter?
Yeah, I don't like macaroons because they look like scab blood stain. No. Kate has to get usually this walking up to the dark line, finding the rudeness of the executioner's pendulum, the overlords. So that's what I like about having the same picture sometimes is the things you can get out of it.
Right. Well, like I said, when you said that, it's been it has stuck in my mind. So I'll do, like next month, I'll do one where I have either one or a male-female thing and try to find some more quotes. I'm trying to think of a theme to go with that one. But, Wayne, what did you think?
I really like it. She's got every phrase. She's got some kind of evil moving around or doing something all the way through this. There's no slowing down the action all the way through it. She starts out saying the walls will bleed, weeping, and it goes on down through there, and the whispering through the whiskers of whiskey. That's a great line there. It's either moving or weeping or whispering, and then the fields are fields lost in a rainbow and a ticking toadstool rebellion. It's just another action factor line. So it's always going through, and at the end of the season, it's lining the rudeness of the executioner's pendulum, corroded headquarters. Just something happening all the way through this. I won't say movie, all the way through the poem. It's action all the way through, and it's dark action. I like it a lot. She did a good job with this.
Great comment. And Hatter, if you click on that, if you'll notice that Kay has it on the list called The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, you'll find some. Vicious stuff in there, just saying. Frank, while I get your link, why don't you comment for Kay, please?
Yeah, just I'm looking at the macro set that Stephen put up. I thought this was an exceptional piece here. I have to say that I agree with what's interesting here, what Tata just acknowledged here, that when you have a prompt, because it was limited to just two prompts here, but when you have a similar prompt, what's fascinating that you just to get into the perception of the mind of the poet or poetess and see how different they are and how they interpret it to the prompt itself. And I thought Kay did a masterful job here. I mean, I would have to say it had a haunting aspect, as I wrote, of a gothic element in classical horror. And she did always, that just seemed to stuck out for me. And I did, of course, with the superb usage of the word bank was very evident here. This is just a superb rendition here of good writing here. And I have to say, along with Wayne, because I've only heard two, the prompt itself, I mean, it's very forceful in the sense of strong imagery, these two poems, these prompts. This prompt itself is just allowing us tonight to write these very, very superb dark pieces here that are just fabulous pieces. So I wasn't expecting all of this. So can I ask just really quick, is Sweet okay? I don't know what's going on.
Absolutely. She has Australian Shepherds, and they are agility dogs, and they play Frisbee, and they win ribbons and medals and wooden Frisbees, and she is at a event for she actually has Amadeus, who aside from being a mega Frisbee star who just retired, he's also her therapy dog, and he takes very good care of her, and when she first got back from her surgery, he literally sat on her legs to keep her in bed. He's an awesome dog. But hold on before you read. Right. Let's say hi to AP. Hey, AP, welcome to the show.
All
right. Hey,
AP. How are you?
What's up, AP?
Hello, Wayne. Hi, everybody.
Hello there.
Glad you're here.
Thank you.
You're just in time to hear Frank read, and then we'll get yours on there. Cool.
Yeah,
okay, Frank, take us away.
All right. I took on the prompt here, which is befitting, I would say, of me lately. The one of Oscar Wilde, the number six. We are each our own devil, and we make this world our hell. So I thought of what I could conjure, what I could write, and this image here, the prompt itself, just brought to mind a terrible part of Spanish history, the Spanish Inquisition. So I went with this. It's called a Spanish Inquisition. It goes like this. Mephistophelian illusions and underground chambers, of the ruby blood stains of the tortured souls punished, a brick mausoleum containing surreptitious secrets, corroded walls draped within the mold in rust. Wounded voices of suffering innocent victims, condemned to the thick and grinding bolt scene, rotating and tightening from a steel contraption, as the poor men and women gasp a last breath inside the drear and dark chambers of terror is the most vile repression ever displayed before. The hollow bones and scores of charcoaled ashes amidst the scavenging rats gnawing at the surface. Traces of human vestiges remain totally intact still, with a trespassing bow that was brutally murdered at the guilty, bloody hands of the Spanish Inquisition are heard screaming loudly for the just vengeance.
I think you had a little bit of fun with this one, Frank. Damn.
Oh, indeed.
Corroded walls draped within the mound, the mold and rust. Wounded voices of suffering innocent victims condemned to the thick and grinding bolts seen. The imagery there is like scary, creepy, as the poor men and women gasp their last breath. Man, oh man, the most vile repression ever displayed. That's really saying something. And then the chick in the I assume that that's a video that you added to that.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks like a scary person I wouldn't want to run into in a dark alley, that's for sure. Brutally murdered. This is really cool, and I like that you pulled it like the Spanish Inquisition. I think that, man, this is really cool, Frank. Another really cool
one. Oh, I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. And I had fun, I have to say. Although I have to admit that, I mean, I'm not making any light of the Inquisition. It was a terrible part of Spanish, in Spanish America as well, because it was also here in the Americas as well. But I'm not making light of what happened. You know, I simply, if I can say really quick, this was after watching, I took a tour while I was in the city of Cordoba of actual torture chambers that were from the 16th century to the early 19th century. And I saw all the contraptions that were used in the Spanish Inquisition against those who were accused. I tell you, this was what conjured in my mind, just seeing all those contraptions. And it was a moving experience. Very, very haunting. I wasn't frightened, but it's a very haunting there, because you see, you can only imagine when you go into walls and chambers of contraptions, you can only imagine what that would have been like in that time period.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm not quite sure why you're saying you don't mean to take it lightly with the vicious and vivid descriptors in here. I wasn't taking anything lightly at all, other than maybe the maniacal laughter at the end, but damn.
What I was referring to is the theme itself. I meant it was people who died, you know, innocent people. That's why I was trying to say that's what I was going at there, just the theme itself.
Okay.
I wasn't taking lightly those who passed away.
Is it the Inquisition, is that why it's notable? Is the way they tortured and killed people?
Yeah, the contraptions, my friend. They were horrible, horrible contraptions. It was a terrible way of killing someone. I mean, you know, most people think that the victims were burned to death, and that was just a small minority who were actually burned to the stake. In Spain and in Latin America, they used contraptions. They were terrible, terrible contraptions they would use to just split people apart. They would, you know, it's gruesome details, my friend. And I saw these contraptions in person, and it was gruesome. Gruesome contraptions, and it's just the images itself, just imagining what was told to me as well, because I was told about what the experiences, you know, they have like iconographs, or they have pictures, you know, of what the images were in that time period, and it's really gruesome.
Damn. Yeah, I've seen some of the darker, what they say, some of the darker ways they used to do that. Just incredible.
I'll look for a pic after we get done with my poem and then the time period. I'll look for a picture and I'll put one up. I'll try not to be too graphic. I'll look for something so you can see the contraption at least.
Yeah. Somebody wouldn't think it'd be the more painful.
Oh, sorry, Heather. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that some of them you wouldn't think would be more painful when in fact. Just putting a block of wood somewhere and binding the legs would tear a man's soul out of it.
Yeah. When I say the grinding boats, you know, when I put the grinding boats rotating, this was people who were actually put into these metal contraptions and they were spread apart, my friend. The wing, you know, the wheel would go and spin the bolts and people's limbs would come apart. So that's what I meant by that part. I say grinding boats rotating, tightening.
It was a rough time in history back then. There's been a lot of regimes up back then. They believed in just going to the ultimate extreme when they torture somebody, and they got a thrill out of it. They all enjoyed it. But I thought your poem was great, great read. And I like the hollow bones and skulls in charcoal ashes. You know, they just places just old and dingy and dirty and just keep on piling up dead bodies. They did torture people back then pretty badly. And they'd poke their eyes out and hang them upside down and pull their tongues out. They did everything to them. It was just gross. It was just, I can't believe humanity was like that, but they was. And you did a great job with this poem. It's dark and almost sickening, and the more you talk about it, the sicker it gets. But that's the way it was back then. And it wasn't just the Spanish. There was other ones that did the same thing. So it was just a bad time back then. People believed in torture. And thank God we got the Geneva Convention now, because I would be able to go through. Yeah. Great job, this Frank. Great job.
No. Good read. Thank you, my friend. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Awesome comment. And AP, will you comment for Frank and then read yours for us, please?
Yeah, look, as Frank used his as a horrible, horrible period, years of terrible deaths, and if there weren't deaths, there was just incredible pain and suffering. And that's where the words were. They basically searched out that horrible feeling of pain and suffering and put it on the page.
Yeah, I do agree. Thank you very much, Richard. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Doc. Well, Deb, I just sort of had a bit of a break and saw the words and saw the stuff. So this is another little brevity. I'm in brevity land at the minute, so... This is a five.
Poverty land.
Goes a little bit like this. We often point our fingers out that others we believe have sinned, but grinding in murmurs the shout by our own sharpshooter opinion. Bloodstained spraying velvet, our ruby elixir empties raining, fretters ticking when wet upon those evil voices again, containing vile and myrrh as underground voices grow. Laps jag a toothless purr as evil stutter their pale red glow. Head bump.
Whoa. Bloodstained spraying velvet, our ruby elixir empties, raining. I'm picturing this thick, bloody spurting all over the place, shredders ticking when wet upon those evil voices are gaining. that that is so scary, because you think the voices are getting closer, but are they? And the images of the blood spray and towards the end containing bile. So like now we got, where's it? And the last line, as evil stutter, they'll pale red glow. Three little stanzas, but really gruesome stanzas, AP. I like the words that you chose and the rhyme, of course, but, man, grinding in murmurs to shout by our own sharpshooter. Vicious, 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 vicious. Wow. Hatter.
Yeah, that was the prayer of anybody that got captured in a number of conflicts, depending on who you were fighting. Was, if you get me in your crosshairs and I'm captured, take me out. Don't let them do that to me.
Yeah,
sure. That's what the sharpshooters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this whole torture thing wasn't it to desecrate the soul and the body, so to prevent.
Yeah.
Going to.
To prevent.
Be accepted in the next world after death or something. If they got too much fun out of it.
Yeah.
You don't go dark often, but you went with some powerful images in this one, Abe.
Yeah. Don't go dark often.
Wayne, what do you think?
Wonderful little brevity there we got going here. Is a poetic way of saying the evil was taking over, basically. And the second stanza I thought was the best. It had the blood and guts flying everywhere. You had spraying and raining and shredding, the shredder throwing stuff. I think I got a little bit on my face over here. It's still going anywhere. But you did a good job with the details and all the stuff moving around. And, yeah, you had stuff flying around there for a while. It's a good poem. I liked it a whole lot. Nice little brevity.
Thank you, Juan. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And, Frank, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with what Wayne just told my lines there. I agree. This is a very good written piece. The notion there of the bloodstained spray in velvet, I mean, there's some explicit lines here in that second stanza. Very vivid as well. And I thought you did, I guess the way you began this the poem with you often pulling up fingers out, I do believe that. There is a sense of an erroneous perception that at times we do in our societies. And this whole notion of what madness could encompass when we are such a disarray of individuals here is palpable here in this piece here, I sense.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you.
Are you welcome?
Awesome comments, and we got about 7 minutes left and two poems. AP, how about if you tell us about tomorrow before we do the last two poems?
Yep. Well, tomorrow I'm sort of filling in, and I sort of thought, well, what are we going to fill in with? And I thought, we'll fill in with critters. And I thought, if we're going to fill in with critters, we might as well do some critter cash. And so I've got a little quiz, well, not so little actually, and we'll give away 2,500 points to those people listening in and answering in. If you can get the right answer in critter cash with the 10 different things. It's quite a fascinating group of strange, weird, and wonderful facts that I've put together.
Monkey.
Sound like fun.
I guess it's the I guess the monkey day. I got ahead of myself.
I'll certainly, have the eagle, I'll have the platypus, I'll have, all sorts of different things. It'll be there.
I was reading about today. I had to guess something today when I read about it. So I went ahead and made a guess.
Now, I have a question. Do you want people to hang out in the chat room and put answers on the board, or do you want them to call and yell them out? How do you want this to go so that when I invite people, I can tell them what we're going to do?
I think it probably makes most sense to be in the chat room, because that way it is timed and we can see who put the answer in first.
Perfect. Okay. Just so I know how to push it. All right, now let me give you guys. We have Gerald's poem and we have Budo's poem. So if you click on
Ladies
Gerald to the studio, and okay, I'll grab her in a second. Let me push Gerald. Here we go.
Deception, written in red by Gerald Green. Epigraph. the evil you do stays with you. The good you do returns to you. Buddha. Poem. The young novitiate stood before the veil, knowing she could never return to a wounded, no, broken vow, innocence, forgiveness. She called it an experiment, reaching for a voice, a hint, a secret, confirming powers to reach beyond a grave. His deception, now understood, stood firm. How she moved from sunshine to thunderclouds, she now understood, and voiced regret with a whimper. The dark mausoleum was the only witness to their underground encounter, down 13 brick steps into the yoke of the
rotten egg. I need to go to bed anyway.
Awaited. She listened to soft words from a toothless mouth, spraying spit and tossing of the past, words landing on her heart like bloodstains on a sharpshooter's shirt. Statements she knew were false, she confirmed as truth. Corroded facts she said were pure. Allegiance she now had changed. In desperation, she entered her private chamber, replaced what was black with venom, kissed the crucifix, and slipped out the convent door. End poem.
Well, well, well. His deception now understood, stood firm. How she moved from sunshine to thunderclouds. She now understood and voiced regret with a whimper. I love that. I think I know her. Anyway, she listened to soft words from a toothless mouth, spraying spit, talking of the past, words landing on her heart like bloodstains on a sharpshooter's shirt. Gerald went pretty dark and vicious on this one, too. The descriptions are awesome. And where was that? Where Lucifer awaited. The thought of Lucifer sitting there waiting for you is a horrifying thought. I don't want to meet him. Thank you very much. This is really deep and dark, and Gerald's a really awesome poet, and I know we say this all the time, but can't wait for him to get back. And now that the weather's breaking, maybe, since it'll be warm here and there, we might get to hear from him soon. Hope. And I know he'll listen, so hint. Awesome poem, Gerald. Thank you so much. And AP, I'm going to save your comment for last because I was going to get you to read Budo's. That's the last poem for tonight. Cool. Hatter, what did you think of Gerald and his darkness?
Yeah, a little darker than normal. I wasn't able to follow, so you might want to go by me on a better comment. But, yeah, I love his recordings. I thought I heard a little somebody else in there, too. Did you hear that?
Your queen, yes, she is here.
Lady A.
Oh, no, she hung up. She was going to go to bed. Let me get a comment from Wayne, please.
Yeah, I like the way Gerald reads his poems. He's always got a little bit of twist in his poems. And like when he changes her moods. Is from sunshine to thundercloud, and then the devil or whatever was talking to her and it's spitting and spit on her and talking about the past, and she knows all the words of Paul's, and so she just went all through the poem was good. It went back and forth, but it's good. And I like it a whole lot. I'm just at the bottom of it now writing my comments. I ain't finished it quite yet, but it's a great poem. I loved it a whole lot.
Awesome comment. I was just writing on his comment. They say that the devil really is in the details. I guess he's proven it here. Frank, what did you think?
Well, I have to say perhaps I'm the only one who finds the devil interesting there, at least when I write about him. I have to say this piece here is always interesting when I hear Gerald, because he always seems to write about everything. And he does it in such an efficacious way. I thought it was a wicked, delightful poem, an incredible display on the word bank, and it was a dark deception here. But I enjoyed this piece, and so I think just like all of us do, we enjoy these pieces here. Perhaps soon he'll be able to join us on the podcast and be able to read his poetry in person, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. So, AP, will you comment for Gerald and then read Budo for me?
And look, I like the second to last stanza, I have to say. Statements she knew were false, he confirmed as truth. Eroded facts she said were pure, allegiance she now had changed. I've got to say, I think we all know somebody like that. I certainly do. So I thought it was most impressive. Anyway, moving right along. This is a poem by Budo called Malum, and it goes a little bit like this. Voices whisper in charcoal tracts, a throated gargle of grinding grun metal, graped in a chamber of corroded ironies that mushroom into the pitch and masquerade as the elixir to fix all. Subjugated within this bleak reality, the incubation of mottled bloodstains has just begun, picking off scabbed layers, scarring intersection of blight or fancy, spraying thunderclouds of ruby oxblood, onto a wounded orifice grinding and chopping at truth, leaving a corpuscled amputee gently swaying in putrid obsidian. End poem.
I'm trying to think of something that I've heard darker by Budo, and I can't come up with anything. The details and the descriptions are like mind-blowing, and that closing stanza, scarring intersections of blight or fancy, spraying thunderclouds of ruby oxblood onto a wounded orifice, grinding and chopping at truth, leaving a corpuscled amputee gently swaying in a putrid obsidian. I mean, just the visuals there are like, oh my gosh. And I'm picturing this like armless torso swaying from the wind. And wow, everybody brought viciousness tonight for sure. Hell of a right, Budo. Damn. And this is another one where it's just a brevity, but perfectly worded to bring the power and the darkness. And wow, excellent. And you read AP. What did you think?
Well, I in the first stanza, I'm draped in a chamber of corroded ironies that mushroom into the pitch and masquerade as the elixir to fix all. Don't you just see that person and you think, wow, I know who that is. It's really cool.
Yeah, I do. Hatter, what did you think?
I was not able to follow. Sorry.
That's okay. Wayne, what did you think?
Did you... Budo jumped right into the dark and deep right from the start and had a little short, quick, almost sickening little phrases there that got my stomach rolling. I think I've heard up all this stuff tonight, so I like the short lines. I like the details he had, and he looked at all just sitting there with a corpulated amputee, Jimmy Swain, in the pretty obelisking. That's the way to end it, because, man, my stomach's growling right now. So it was some sex stuff tonight. But it's a good poem. I enjoyed the poem. Great job, Budo.
Great comment. And Frank, please.
Yes, I agree. This is a superb rendition here of a wonderful dog piece here. I mean, all these pieces tonight have been excellent pieces. And those are some brevities, but delightful. Wicked. I love, as I do with the rest of the poems, good display of fantastic usage of word bank. And it's good that you brought this prompt in word bank here. From Sweet, that provided this inspiration as well. And I thought all these poems tonight that I read and heard were excellent poems that were very much on tee, I would say, on spot with the word bank that Sweet introduced.
awesome comment. Amazing, amazing darkness from everyone tonight, I tell you. Very impressive use of those word banks, you guys. And I guess right now, oh, you know what, I have a question. AP, did you, I knew that AC/DC was from Oz, but I didn't realize that they were from right in Sydney. And
yes.
Apparently there's a bronze statue somewhere of the one of the founding members that died of alcohol poisoning. Have you ever seen that bronze statue?
No, I didn't know that. In Melbourne, they have named a laneway after ACDC. And
oh,
so
yeah?
There's an ACDC lane. Yeah.
Bon
yeah.
Scott.
But the statue of Bon Scott is actually in Scotland. It's not in Australia. So
the band is Australia, but not Scott.
Yeah, Scottish Cat is
cool.
A statue of Bon Scott. So there you go.
Well, I was fascinated to find out that it took a few years for AC/DC to become a mega band over here, but once they did,
yes.
I mean, that particular album that was their first to hit number one over here still goes strong.
Yeah.
Back in Black.
Yeah.
So before I take us out with the aforementioned Back in Black song, I just want to remind everyone that we are chatting about critters, guessing and winning points tomorrow with AP.
We are.
And over at A Poetic Slice, they are having a show at 8 Eastern, and they have a poem posted by the late Gia Karangi, and they would like you to write what that poem inspires. So stop over and take a look at that, and that's them tomorrow, and us with the critters tomorrow at 11 Eastern.
We have the most famous song about a person's pet ever written, which is about...
I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Paul McCartney's Sheepdog. He wrote a song called Martha, My Dear, which is on the White Album, which is the home of all crazy, strange songs. And so that's the song we're going in with, Martha, My Dear by Paul McCartney about his sheepdog.
Yeah, when you put truly, I was like, wow. So I went and read the lyrics, and you would have thought it was about a woman rather than a dog, although sometimes they can be more loyal. Just saying.
At the same time, he maintains that the song is about a sheepdog. So let's go with that.
Well, that's what we have lined up. So... On that note, I will see you amazing people tomorrow. I appreciate you coming and hanging out with us tonight. And we are going to go out the same way we came in, with AC/DC.
Perfect.
Love and respect.
Thanks, Dad.
Love and respect always. Take care, my friends.
awesome darkness, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, Hatter.
Thanks, Deborah.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Get some rest.
I will. Thank you.
Love and respect, everyone. Good night.